When we think about birthdays, I mean, we love them and we hate them. We love them because you love to have them, because if you have them, you're still alive. But you hate them in the sense that you're growing older and you're wearing out. Now, younger people won't really understand this, but older people will. You love to have them, but you hate to have them. Birthdays are good and bad. In my house, all four of our birthdays are within less than a month. And we have a great time as we have the parties for the girls and just a great time. But you know, when you think about birthdays, you begin to think about the whole idea. In fact, if you go back to the Bible, of growth and maturity. In fact, when the Bible talks about growth, it's not only talking about physical growth, but it's talking about spiritual growth as well. In fact, most of the time, the Bible is dealing with spiritual growth. God's plan is that we would grow spiritually, that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The book of Ephesians says that we'd no longer be children tossed to and fro by every little doctrine that comes our way, but we would speak the truth, grow up and mature to be like Jesus Christ. Here's a question as we begin. Where are you in this process of spiritual growth? Well, of course, we know it begins when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then as a child of God, you're beginning to grow. There are some of you who have trusted Christ even recently, and that biblically speaking, you would be a babe. And that's okay. As a newborn babe, desire the milk of the word that you may grow by it. That's what 1 Peter 2:2 says. Just go after it. There are others who've been Christians for a while, and you're growing and you're maturing. Then there's some that have been Christians for a long time, and biblically speaking and even humanly speaking, people would look around and they'd say, well, you're pretty mature. But really, what we might call mature believers are maturing mature believers, because we never stop growing. We're always in that process. This morning, Paul expresses his goal in this passage in chapter 3. He says he wants to be like Jesus Christ. He wants to keep growing on to maturity. In fact, Paul says, I have not arrived. Now think about that. If Paul says he hasn't arrived, he hasn't matured, where should we be? As we study this passage this morning, we want to be encouraged to press on. To press on to maturity, to be like Jesus Christ. And as we begin, let me just remind you where we are and what we're seeing. We're in chapter 3, and chapter 3 deals with a lot of great things, especially at the beginning. He deals with probably the most important issue of all, and that is salvation. The question and the issue is brought up, is salvation grace or is salvation works? We know it's grace through faith. Some people had come into the Philippian church after Paul had left, and they actually said that unless you kept the law of Moses, you couldn't be saved. In other words, unless you did good works, you couldn't go to heaven. Of course, Paul writes back, and he basically says in chapter 3, the first 3 to 4 verses, he says, you put your glory and your faith in Jesus Christ and not in yourself. Our salvation is not based on what we do, what we hope to do, what we try to do. It is all based only in Jesus Christ. That's salvation. It's by faith in Him. He is the Savior. We are not a Savior. So it's not works at all. Well, this morning as we get down and we're starting in chapter 3, verses 8 through 16, two big areas come up, and I mentioned them a while ago. In verses 8, 9, and 10, he talks about knowing Jesus Christ, knowing Him for salvation and knowing Him on a daily basis. Knowing Him in that very special way. The second part is chapter 3, verses 11 through 16. And as we look at that, he talks about growing. So we're talking about knowing and growing this morning. And he talks about growing to be like Christ. And he talks about a resurrected life. He talks about dying to ourselves and living for Christ. And we'll see that as we go through him. Well, let's begin and we go back to verse 8. We looked at 8, 9, and 10 last week in a little, not as much detail as we like. So we want to hit a little bit more this morning and keep going. Look at verse 8. Where he makes the key statement. He says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Now Paul says, I count everything as loss in order to know Christ. Because he said, the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ is better than anything else you could ever imagine. He counts all things as loss to know Christ. He counts them as trash. He says, to know Jesus is greater than anything you could ever have, ever do. You remember back in that passage, Paul had talked about all his background and all his accomplishments. And he says, but when he came to Jesus Christ for his salvation, he counted all of that as loss. It was nothing. He says he wants to know Jesus Christ. He counts everything as loss for the surpassing value of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as we look in this passage, there are two ways that he's talking about knowing Jesus Christ. In verse 9, he talks about knowing Him as Savior. And in verse 10, he talks about and knowing Him on a daily basis as you grow in that fellowship and relationship with Him. We saw this last week. It is very important. I want you to listen carefully, because he makes a statement in verse 8 where he says, I have suffered the loss of all things so that I could know Him. And so the question that we raised it last week, we raised it again this week, what is it that Paul gave up? What is it that he suffered the loss of so that he could know Jesus Christ? What did he give up in order that he would know Christ as his Savior? What did he give up in order that he would know Christ on a daily, intimate way? Well, verse 9 says that for salvation, he gave up his own good works. He gave up trusting in his own goodness and his own righteousness. He gave up trying to get to God by what he did. In fact, that passage is going to talk about not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the truth for every one of us. If you're going to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot come to God on your good works. You must come to God, putting aside all your goodness and putting your faith in Christ. That's hard for people to do. I talked to a guy in my office just a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about salvation. We talked about salvation simply being by faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, but you've got to keep doing certain things or you won't go to heaven. He doesn't understand. Salvation is not what you keep doing. Salvation is not what you promise to do. Salvation is not even what you try to do. Salvation is when you suffer the loss of all your old good works and put it away, and you come only to Jesus Christ. That's salvation. That's verse 9. And then in verse 10, he talked about what did he have to give up to know Jesus Christ in an intimate way, to grow in that fellowship with him. And you know what he said? And we saw it last week. It's at the end of verse 10. He gave up his life. He said that he would be conformed to the death of Jesus Christ, that he would die to himself. And we saw last week that if you want to know Jesus Christ in a very intimate way, if you want to grow in that relationship and that fellowship with him, you have to die to yourself. Now, that costs you. In fact, I want to make the distinction because there's two things here. Salvation costs you nothing. It's a gift. In fact, what you have to do is give up all your good works and everything and set them aside and just come only to Jesus Christ and you come by faith. It's a gift. But to know him on an intimate way costs you your life. It's that whole idea of discipleship. If you're going to be a disciple for Jesus Christ and if you're going to know him and the people who know him are the disciples, you got to give up your life. You've got to die to yourself. The Romans passage, Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. You give up your life. You say, God, I want to know you. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. My life is not mine. My life is yours. I want to die to myself and live to you. So Paul says, when he talks about knowing Jesus Christ, know him as Savior, he gave up his works, his good works. To know him on a daily basis, he gives up his life. Let's look at this, and we'll go quickly through it since we touched on it last week. Verse 9 says, and I may be found in him. Now, this is knowing him as Savior. That I may be found in him, that I may have that relationship with him, that I may know him in that way, not having a righteousness of my own, which comes from the law. He says, not my own goodness, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. He says, I can't come to God on what I do. I come to God on Jesus Christ. Romans 4:5 says, to the person who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You come to Jesus Christ. You come to God not by your good works, but through Christ and faith in him. He then goes to verse 10, and he talks about knowing him on a daily basis. And notice what he says. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. How? Being conformed to his death. He says, I died. Just as Jesus died, I died. Just as Jesus died and rose again to a new life, I die and rise again to a new life. To know him by experience, to know the power of the resurrection, to know the fellowship of his suffering, which we explained last week. I'll touch on it again in just a minute. He says, you have to give up your life. You die to yourself. He says, you be conformed to the death of Jesus Christ. As he died, you died. As he rose again, you rise again to a new life. That's Romans chapter 6. And by the way, the choir, when they sang that song, they were singing about Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Die with Jesus, bury with Jesus, rise with Jesus to a new life. And that's what we do. We die to ourselves and live to Jesus Christ. He says that I might know the power of his resurrection. And he's saying that I want to know the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I want to know that power in my life. And you can have that. Not only know that power, but you have that power. That's why Paul writes later in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through the one who strengthens me. That's Jesus Christ. That's the power of the resurrection. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, when you die to yourself and live to Christ, you can have or live in through you is the power of Jesus Christ. He says, that's why I want to know the power of his resurrection. He goes on and says, I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. The word fellowship means to identify there, to share in the sufferings of Christ. What does he mean by that? He means that as you die to yourself and live for Christ, just as they persecuted Jesus, they will persecute you. In fact, Jesus said that. He said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Servant is not above the master. If you die to yourself and live for Jesus Christ because you identify with Christ, there will be times you will suffer. There are some of you in this room already. You have stood for Jesus Christ in your classes. You have stood for Jesus Christ in your work. You have stood for Jesus Christ in your dorms and in your apartments and in your neighborhoods. And people have made fun of you. There has been persecution possibly. You have shared in what we call the sufferings of Christ. And the only way that happens is you die to yourself and live for Christ. He goes on and talks about that in verse 11. Notice how it flows. It says, being conformed to his death in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. And what he's saying is that I want to live as one who has died to myself and lives in Jesus Christ, that resurrection from the dead. That's Romans chapter 6. And what I want you to do is hold your place in Philippians 3 and turn over to the book of Romans. Just turn back toward the front of your Bible, just a few books. Acts, Romans, and turn to Romans chapter 6. And I want you to see this truth. Because Paul, over here in Romans 6, talks about the same thing. He talks about dying with Jesus Christ, being buried with Jesus Christ, rising with Jesus Christ, and therefore we consider ourselves dead to ourselves, in a sense, and alive to Jesus Christ. And as you turn there, I want you to understand, when Paul says, I want to know him for salvation. I want to know him. He gave up his good works. When he says, I want to know him daily, he gives up his life. If you want to know Jesus Christ on a daily basis in an intimate way, knowing him more than just being your Savior, but knowing him as a disciple, you got to give up your life. And look what Romans 6 says. Look at verse 3. He says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? The Greek word baptized, baptizo in the Greek, literally means identified, being in union. He says, those of us, and you get in union with Christ when you put your faith in him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. When we trust Christ, we're connected with him. He says, don't you know that all of us who have been identified, connected into Christ Jesus, have been identified and connected into his death? When he died, we died. I want you to understand this. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, because you have put your faith in him and you're in union with him, when he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he rose again to a new life, you rise again to a new life. This is what Paul's talking about. He's saying, I want to consider my life as one who's died and risen again, living out that life. Look what he goes on to say in verse 4. He says, therefore, we have been buried with him through our identification into his death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. He died, we died. He was buried, we were buried. He rose again, we rose again. We need to live in such a way as a disciple that we die to ourselves and we live to Christ. Look what he goes on to say in verse 10. For the death that he died, talking about Christ, he died to sin. He paid for our sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And then notice what he says to us. Even so then, consider yourselves what? To be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Listen, that whole idea of being dead and rising again, that's why Paul says, I want to know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, that I somehow might obtain to that, being connected with his death so that I may obtain to the resurrection. My prayer is that every one of us in this room who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, we will understand that to know him in the way that we really want to know him, we must die to ourselves because we already died. We must consider ourselves buried with him because we already buried. And we must consider ourselves being risen to a new life as he did. So therefore, we consider ourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ. You're a new person. That's why the Bible keeps saying you're a new person, because you died and rose again in a new life. That's what he says. I want to ask a question. And thinking about this, because we're saying about knowing Jesus Christ, knowing him as Savior, you give up your good works. Knowing him on a daily basis, you give up your life. And so here's a couple of questions. Number one, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? My prayer is that every one of you in this room know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And according to the Word of God and according to what Paul talks about, the way you know Him as your Savior is you must give up your good works, give up you trying to get to God somehow by what you do, and you trust only in Jesus Christ. Now, if I were to get with one of you one-on-one and I said, "Hey, are you going to heaven?" And you said, "Yeah." And I said, "How come?" And you said, "Because I've tried to do the best I can." You have not given up your good works. You've not counted them as lost. You've not put your faith in Jesus Christ. You're putting your faith in what you've tried to do, what you hope to do, what you plan to do. My prayer is that every one of you realize that good works, good things can never get you there. It's only Jesus. And you trust in Him and Him alone. You can trust Him right where you're sitting. You don't have to have a song for you to come down to the front to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Right where you're sitting, you can believe that He died for you and paid for your sins, and you can have eternal life. The second question, are you knowing, and let me put it that way, are you knowing Jesus Christ in an intimate way? Are you growing in that fellowship and relationship with Him? And there's only one way to do that. You die to yourself and live for Christ. And that means you have to make that decision. That is the biggest decision you make as a Christian. Now, the biggest decision you ever make in your whole life is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. The biggest decision you make as one who has trusted in Jesus Christ is whether you're going to live for Him or not. Whether you decide that you're going to live for yourself or you're going to live for Jesus Christ. Are you going to die to yourself and live for Him or are you going to live for yourself? It's a big decision. You make the decision that you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that when you walk out these doors, you're living for Him, you're representing Him, you'll go wherever He wants you to go, you'll do whatever He wants you to do, that your life is not what's important, but living for Jesus Christ is what's important. And that's how you know Him in that way that He talks about. My prayer is that we not only all know Him as Savior, but we're all seeking to know Him as disciples, dying and rising again with Him. Now, from here, and go ahead and go back to Philippians chapter 3. From this point, Paul goes and he's going to move into the whole issue of growing as a Christian, growing as a believer. He says our goal is not only to know, but our goal is to grow. Look at verse 12. He says, "Not that I've already obtained it or I've already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." He says, "Not that I've already obtained it." Obtained what? That resurrected life, that idea that He's dying and risen again, that He's mature, that he's what He's supposed to be. Paul would say to you, "I'm not what I want to be yet. I'm not conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm in growing to be that way." He says, "Not that I've obtained it yet. Not that I've been died and risen again to this new life and I'm living out as a resurrected person." He says, "I'm not there yet. Not that I've already obtained it or I've already become perfect, but I press on." When he says become perfect, that doesn't mean Paul thought that there was going to come a time in his life that he wouldn't have any sin. The word perfect is the Greek word teleos, which literally means mature. So even Paul says, "Hey, not that I've obtained it, not that I'm mature." Where does that put all of us? I mean, Paul is the man that wrote 13 letters in the New Testament. He's an apostle. He's a representative of Jesus Christ. He's all those great things. Paul says, "I'm not mature yet. I'm pressing on." We go, well, if he's not mature, we know we're not mature. We know we're to keep growing to be like Jesus Christ. So what does he say? "Not that I've already obtained it or I've already become perfect, but I press on. I press on. I make it my goal. I press on. In order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." What he says is, that I may become what God plans for me to become. Do you know what God's plan for your life is? Not only is His plan to save you, He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to be your Savior, to keep you from being separated. We talked about it in Sunday school about what happens to people when they die. And for people who die who do not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they experience what the Bible calls eternal death, or the second death. They'll be separated forever. Jesus Christ came to die so that you won't ever be separated. But that's not all. God's plan is that you would be conformed to the image of His Son. Romans 8:29 says that's His plan, that we'd become more and more like Jesus Christ. That is, the Bible says in 2 Peter, that we're to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why He calls us saints, which means holy ones, set apart ones. So He says, "Not that I've already obtained it, I've already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay a hold of that which I was laid hold of. I might be what God wants me to be." every one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, what God wants you to be and wants me to be, He wants us to be like Christ. He wants us growing and maturing to be like Jesus Christ. Notice what He says in verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. He said, I'm not there. But this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, listen, I'm not there yet. But here's the one thing I do. In fact, the way it's written in the Greek, he says, now this is the key thing I do. I forget the things that are behind and I press on to the things that are ahead. I press on to the goal of being shaped and formed and becoming like Jesus Christ. He says, I forget the things that are behind. What's he talking about? Well, in this whole chapter, he's not only forgetting all the good things that he ever did and all his accomplishments, but he's forgetting where he messed up. And see, one of the problems that I see that a lot of Christians don't go on to maturity is because they can't get past where they failed God. There's some people, sometimes we fail Him, sometimes we blow it, and we want to say to God, God, you can't use me, I can't be like Christ because you don't know how bad I am, and you know what I've done in the past, and you know how I think this way, and all this. The Word of God says you forget those things and you press on. Putting those things aside. That's why the Bible allows the fact that you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. And when you confess your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you, then you press on. You forget the things that are behind, you press on to the things that are ahead. We've all blown it, but God takes you right where you are. I've had people come in my office and say, I could never be used by Christ. I said, why not? Well, I could never be what God wants me to be. I said, why not? Well, because you just don't know the things that I've done. And I look at him, I say, you don't know the things I've done. I said, that's not the issue. Forget the things that are behind. Press on to the things that are ahead. And that word press on to the things that are ahead literally means stretching forward. As you know, I love the sports and Olympics and the track, and I coached it and all that. And I love that at the very end of that race when those people are stretching forward trying to win. That's literally what that word means. We forget the stuff that is behind and we go as fast as we can, stretching forward for the prize of the call of Jesus Christ, the goal of being like Him. Maybe some of you haven't gone on to maturity. Some of you aren't growing as Christians because you can't get past some of the things you've done in the past. Jesus Christ, His blood has not only paid the penalty, but His blood continues to cover it. And you should do what this passage says. Forget those things that are behind, and you go full speed forward to what's ahead, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, letting your life count for Him. I read something the other day. It says, sometimes we have to let go of the past so that we can even enjoy the present and able to dream about the future. I do not regard myself as making it yet, he says. But I forget the things that are behind. I press on to the things that are ahead. And then verse 14 says, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The goal is to be like Christ. The prize is all of the rewards and the blessings that are connected with a person who is living like Jesus Christ. It's the upward call because you're called children of God. You're called saints. Press on to the goal. Do you realize that it's the challenge that Paul says in his life that he wanted to know Jesus Christ? He wanted to know Him not only as a Savior, but he wanted to know Him in an intimate way. He wanted to die and rise again to live that kind of life, and he wanted to grow. He wanted to grow in such a way that he'd become conformed to the image of Jesus. He said, I'm not there yet. I'm keeping on going. I'm keeping on pursuing it, going after it full speed. And I forget the stuff that's behind. And I stretch forward like an athlete running for the goal. I stretch forward as fast as I can for the upward call of the prize in Jesus Christ. And that is to be like Him. Every one of us in this room who know Christ, we're to be like Him. That is our goal. That is that finish line that we're running to be like. We want to stretch out and say, God, make me like You. I want to know You and I want to be like You. He says, I died, I rose again to a new life, I'm pressing to the goal. How can we do it? Well, you know what? You're going to have to know and apply the Scripture. Because Jesus Christ is the living Word. And Jesus Christ came to do the will of the Father, not His own will. And the will of the Father is found in the Word of God. And if we're going to be like Jesus Christ, we're going to have to know the truths of the Scripture and apply them in our lives. We're going to have to be like Christ in that way. The second thing is we're going to have to live in the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells in all of us. Jesus Christ lived his entire life in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to do the same thing. And the third thing is we're going to have to make it our goal to seek to be like him. None of us are there yet. And Paul would say the same. But we forget those things that are behind. And we press on to the things that are ahead. For the goal of the prize, of the upward call in Jesus Christ. Here's my prayer that every one of us in this room, not only do we know Jesus Christ as Savior, that's simply by faith. Not only do we begin to know Him on a daily basis, growing to be more and more like Him, that we press toward that goal. We forget those things that are behind and we press on to be like Jesus Christ. You make the decision. You decide if you're going to be like Jesus Christ. You decide if you're going to live by the Scripture. You decide if you're going to know the Bible and live by it. You decide if you're going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit or the flesh. You decide whether you're going to live for yourself or live for Jesus Christ. You decide whether you're going to die to yourself and live for Him. You decide it. Make that our goal and our plan and our desire to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to press toward that way. May we do that. He ends this with a charge. Look what he says, verse 15. He says, "Let us therefore, as many as those are perfect, mature, have this attitude. And if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you." He says, listen, as many of us who are mature, those of us who are maturing would be the way to say it, let us have this same attitude. And let me tell you something. If you have the desire to be like Jesus Christ and you want to press toward the mark and you want to do all of these things in this passage, then the passage here is calling you a maturing, mature one. And if you were to say, I just want to come to church some. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I don't want to get too involved. I don't have that kind of time. I got a lot of other stuff I want to do. This passage would say you're not a mature one. Because the ones that are mature are the ones that are saying, I want my life to count for Christ. That's what he says. Notice how he puts it. Let us, therefore, as many as are mature, have this attitude, the attitude of pressing toward the mark, going after it. Now, if in anything you have a different attitude, he says, God will reveal that to you. And God will. He ends it by saying this, however, let us keep living by the same standard to which we've attained. Now, it's hard to understand the way that's written in the English, but in the Greek, he basically says, let's keep on growing, at least stay at the level you are and keep on pursuing more growth. Because the truth is, you're either continuing to grow or you're going back. You don't just stay in one place. You're either becoming more and more like Jesus Christ or you're becoming less and less like Jesus Christ. You're either living by the power of the Holy Spirit or you're living in the flesh. And he says, look, let's at least keep the same level we are and then keep on going. The charge, if you think this way, keep growing. Don't go back. What have we seen? Let me go through this quickly. We've seen that he says, I count all things to be lost to know Christ. As far as salvation, gave up his works. As far as knowing Jesus Christ on a daily basis, he gave up his life. He says that the goal is to die and to rise again and live to a new life. Dying to Christ, living for him. Dying to ourselves and living for Christ. He says the goal is to press toward the goal of the upward call to be like Jesus Christ. And he says, let all of us who are maturing have this attitude. What a powerful passage. There's nothing easy about Philippians 3. Sometimes it's not easy to understand. It's definitely not easy to apply. Let me give you two things to think about. One, first application, let's strive to know Jesus Christ. And when I say that, we're talking about salvation and Christian life. My prayer is that everyone in this room knows Jesus Christ is Savior. To do that, you give up your good works and you put your faith in Jesus. To know Him on a daily basis, you give up your life. You die to yourself and live to Christ. So here's a question, and I asked it a while ago. Where are you today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And as I said a while ago, if you do not, if you've always thought that it's based on something you try to do, whether it's being baptized or joining a church or trying to be good or just trying to do the best you can, if you thought it was somehow based on what you promised God you would do or you would keep doing or try to do, today, throw all that out. Count it all as loss for the sake of Christ and put your faith only in Jesus Christ. It is by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And as I said a while ago, you don't have to come down to the front, right where you're sitting. You can put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. For those of us who know Christ, are we growing in our knowledge of Him? You have to die to yourself. That's the hardest decision you're going to make as a Christian. That you're going to choose to give up your life and serve the living God. That you're going to say, it doesn't matter where I live, what I do, I want to live for you. That's a big decision. One final thing. Let's keep growing to be like Christ. Let's press on to maturity. Let's forget the things that are behind and let's press on to the things that are ahead. Let's make it as our goal in life to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to live like Him. That means we know the Bible and we apply it. We live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We get involved in a local church and use the gifts and talents that we have so that we can help each other grow. And that we press on to the upward call for the prize that is in Jesus Christ. I pray we do that. May we know not only Jesus Christ is our Savior, but we keep growing in our knowledge of Him as we press toward the goal of being like Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this passage. It's so hard, Lord, when we think about it. But Lord, I pray that every one of us in this room know You as Savior. I pray that everyone in this room understands that it's not their works or goodness. They give it all up and they put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray that we who know You are growing in our knowledge of You day after day as we die to ourselves and we live for You. Lord, I pray also that we are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and that we're making it the goal of our life to be like You. We know we haven't arrived. As Paul had not arrived, we've never arrived. But this one thing we do, Lord, we want to forget the things that are behind. And we want to press on to the things that are ahead. As we press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Lord, may we do that. Lord, I just ask You that You will take this group of believers and as we go out into this community as those who are growing to be like Christ, those who know Him, that we'll be used by You to see others come to know Jesus as Savior and then know Him on a daily basis as we become more and more like Him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.